Today, we're presenting you with The Intersection, an audio series that looks at change in the Bay Area through physical intersections, street corners, where different cultures, desires, and histories meet every day. This season, KALW's David Boyer is focusing on Golden Gate and Leavenworth in the Tenderloin, a neighborhood that some feel is changing, and others?
Ain't nothing changed but the weather.
What you'll hear over the next 4 days is what David found while spending the better part of a year getting to know the people who live and work nearby. Ultimately, this is his take on the corner. He says it's not definitive, but hopefully it's both thoughtful and thought-provoking. So let's listen. This is the first episode of The Intersection.
Golden Gate and Leavenworth is on the edge of downtown San Francisco, where the touristy vibe of Union Square gives way to the grittier vibe of the Tenderloin. This is a hectic corner. Traffic rushes down Golden Gate, and the sidewalks are packed.
Hey, David, how's it going?
There are people rushing somewhere and people hanging out. And the folks hanging out are there for a lot of different reasons.
I just wanted to see if Katrina was out here.
There are people like Mike Anderer, who you just heard. He works at a middle school steps away from the corner, but wants to make the street safer and healthier for all. There are drug dealers and buyers. There are people that live in tiny rooms. For them, the sidewalk is their living room. And there are the homeless. Of the more than 7,500 people without permanent housing in San Francisco, half can be found in the Tenderloin. Katrina, the woman Mike is worried about, is one of those people. I met her one day while hanging out near the corner with a microphone.
What are you doing? What are you doing?
I'm doing an audio documentary on this corner.
No, you're gonna get your ass whooped.
Hopefully not.
But what do you want to hear them say? Roxy, Xanax, Chima, Narcos? Well, that's all you want to hear, but they're not going to say nothing around you. So.
No, I'm not looking for that. I'm actually
like
talking.
What?
I'm just talking to people to find out, like for instance, like, what are you doing here right now?
I'm waiting on the child care center to close, so I go sit in my tent and cook my dinner.
Katrina and her husband, Coop, are sitting on the sidewalk, leaning against a large black suitcase and a granny cart filled with their possessions. They are keeping an eye on the child care center across the street. As soon as it closes, they cross Golden Gate Avenue and grab a spot for the night. Like many of the nonprofits in the area, the center probably won't call the cops to remove them. These service providers know all too well that there are few places for the homeless to go, and moving them from this spot will not solve anything. So Coop sets up their tent, and Katrina, as she does most nights, cooks dinner for herself, Coop, and assorted friends who stop by.
I can cook my ass off.
What do you mean cook? What do you cook?
I cook everything. I cook gumbo, I cook jambalaya, I cook oxtails, I cook neck bone, I cook gator, I cook hamburger, fish fries, everything.
She'll smoke some pork chops and make you lick your elbow from the juice running down your arm. And I mean, I'm gonna tell you, everybody eat from her and they be right here on this ground, man, when she get out, you know what I'm saying? Even the police be wanting to taste it.
So Coop, what's your favorite?
I have several, but my main one is she got some chili that's, man. You know, back toward Texas, you know, they supposed to be the best chili makers, you know, Chuck Wagons, that's the Wild Wild West. She'll knock them out the box. Can't touch her.
Tonight, as the sun begins to set, she's surrounded by what she calls her street family.
This is my cousin right here.
She's smoking ribs right here on the sidewalk with a barbecue smoker that a friend brought her.
And you put charcoal down here, you put ribs on here. I'm gonna start cooking. When I was a kid, I didn't go play hide and get it, hide and seek. I didn't play hopscotch. I watched my mother in the kitchen. I feel that's a way for me to get out of this. I mean, because I got a gift. So everybody over here is trying, they be trying to come together. I can say, contribute to me getting me a restaurant. My restaurant be called what?
Tree-trees.
It's gonna be tree-trees. I mean, I'm serious.
It's really incredible, man, because she should be serving at the White House. That's how good. She's a six-star restaurant type of thing, you know.
I'm wasting my life. I'm being honest.
I'm sorry.
It's be okay, though. It's gonna be okay one way or another. I'll be okay. If I get me a ticket to cooking school, I changed my whole life around. That's something I want to do. But I need help. Straight up.
Katrina, who's in her late 30s, has been living on the street for 3 years. Before that, she lived in SROs in the neighborhood, tiny rooms with a hot plate for cooking and shared bathrooms. As we talk, it's clear she's been through a lot in her life.
I was 3 years old when my mother protected herself and she actually killed my daddy. My mother went to jail, of course, and I had to stay with different family members. It was, can't nobody treat you like your mother on some real shit. But I love my mom. I really, really do. Even though she wasn't there as she needed to be, I never gave up on her. So she did a lot of times. Everybody, like the OG ladies that be all here, they know my mom.
Katrina's mother was addicted to heroin. Now Katrina is too.
Really, when I started snorting heroin, because I wanted to see what my mother was on heroin. I wanted to see how she, what is it about she felt? You know, why is it that she was on it? But I ended up getting hooked. But baby, I've been on it like a year or something now. A year or something. And I'm tired. I thought I would never be tired, though.
What are you tired of?
Using drugs, number one. I'm tired of living on the streets. Actually, I can truly say that I miss my kids.
She has three kids, teenagers, who live with her sister in the East Bay.
I haven't seen my babies in 2 years. It's very selfish of me. They don't deserve it. But I can't drag them into this life. I refuse to. My son missed me. He missed me like crazy.
Sure.
She knows she needs help getting sober.
Today she's a mother.
She's tried liquid methadone in the past.
Liquid methadone made me throw up, but...
She has an appointment with her doctor in the morning, and she plans to talk to him about getting on methadone pills.
No, I'm not going to a shelter. I'm not going to do that. Hey, silence! Wait! Okay, talk to my husband.
Well, anyway, basically, I really need to get her off the streets into anything with a nice kitchen in it.
So the homeless outreach people, have they come out and talked to you?
Yeah, they came out. They come out. But you know what? What's the main thing with that is nobody want to go to a shelter. You know, have you ever been to jail? They got some rules or curfew. And, you know, a lot of stuff you got to abide by to be there. And if I was back east or something, I would go to one. Because you'll die out on the street out there, you know, straight up, you know. But, you know, hey, excuse me, bro. Excuse me, please. I mean, but you stop right here. We doing something. Yeah. You know, me, myself, I could go home in Antioch, but I choose not to because, I don't know, man. It's just, I've been in Antioch, you know, all you hear is birds and stuff, but, you know, some people like it like that, but I'm a city person, you know. I want to hear a fire truck. I want to hear stuff like that. You know what I'm saying? I like the excitement, you know. It's never a boring moment.
I love Coop.
That was my wife, you guys. She is, it's very special.
So you guys have been together for how long now?
3 years. Going on 4.
Wow.
That was the key word. Wow.
Wow.
To have a relationship in this type of environment, you know, it's perverts, it's looky-loos, it's haters. You know what a hater is. I mean, it's jealousy, you know, just straight. Basically, there's a lot of demons down here. There's always something going on.
Girl.
Say hello.
Special, huh?
Give a shout out to me.
So, guys, I have to run right now. I'll be back.
Oh, man. I'll just give my chance to get out of here.
I have to interview somebody at 5 right around the corner.
You know, you give me my way out of here.
I don't know about that, but I can.
But no,
try.
You could be. But I mean, but people are hearing what, you know what I'm saying, the good things. I mean, I'm serious. I need a way out. I need the help. I need some help. I'm not ashamed to say it. I need help.
This is Cross Currents. I'm Hanat Baba. You're listening to KALW's presentation of The Intersection, an audio series that looks at change in the Bay Area through life at its street corners. We're at Golden Gate and Leavenworth in San Francisco's Tenderloin District, an area where homelessness and addiction have hit hard. Here's KALW's David Boyer again.
A half block away, there's a health clinic that serves the city's poor and homeless. I'm on my way to meet the guy who runs it. As I walk, I wonder, is it okay to get involved? And what can I do to really help Katrina?
I'm Joseph Pache. I'm Director of Primary Care Homeless Services for the San Francisco Department of Public Health and Medical Director at Tom Waddell Urban Health Clinic here at Golden Gate and Leavenworth.
So I met a woman who is on Golden Gate and Leavenworth, who is been out there for a while, addicted to heroin. She says, I want to change my life. I want to go off the street. Well, what are the steps?
Well, I mean, the first thing I would ask her is, what do you see for yourself moving forward? Because any change, no matter who it is, and no matter how small or large the change is, for it to occur and for it to be sustained has to come from within.
She's a great cook. She wants to be a chef.
So then the next question I have is, what's keeping you from that, right? So if she tells me, you know what, the heroin is keeping me from getting to my goals, then I can say, well, what do you want to do about that? And if she wants to stop it, I can talk to her about methadone, buprenorphine, two drugs that have transformed people's lives. But there's the day-to-day reality that in the meantime, until she gets off heroin, she's got to get that next fix. Otherwise, she's going to be really sick. You know, one of the challenges is a lot of our patients came from very challenging and at times abusive and brutal life circumstances. There was a whole cascade of things that happened very early on in their lives that sort of set them on a different trajectory. And then you end up with a lifetime of bad things that chase you wherever you go.
And I'm curious, you know, you go on medication, but you're still living on Golden Gate.
Right.
How does that work?
Well, it works and it doesn't, right? Because it doesn't work because if you're constantly around a situation that is full of risk and temptation, how could you really move away from it, right? So we often talk to people about, you know, do you want to get housed? And she could work with our case managers and social workers to figure out how she can apply for certain types of housing. Housing is one of the most cost-effective interventions when it comes to changing people's lives because it builds a foundation from which other change can occur.
This is Cross Currents from KALW News. I'm Hanat Baba, and you're listening to part one of a special KALW series, The Intersection. Now, we'll pick up the story of Golden Gate and Leavenworth when KALW's David Boyer meets a woman who moved from the streets to supportive housing near the corner.
If there's any doubt about the difference housing can make, one only needs to meet the people who live right above the clinic in the Kelly Cullen community. It's supportive housing for people with mental and physical health issues, as well as a history of homelessness.
My name is Kim Mastero. I've been in Kelly Cullen since they renovated in 2012. We are a community of rejects. We are just some of those people that got knocked down or disabled or because of bad breaks in their life. I came to be here due to domestic violence. I have PTSD. But I had help getting to where I am, no doubt, with the counselors on that.
3 years ago, Kim won the homeless equivalent of the Golden Ticket, a spot in this new permanent housing in the former Central YMCA. This is not your average supportive housing project. It's in an historic building with a stunning marble entrance, a grand seating area, a community kitchen, a gym, a rooftop garden, and a 300-seat auditorium.
My first day at Kelly Cullen was a turning point, but I didn't realize how much at the time. I was still so scared about, you know, am I going to be able to really stay here, you know, or are they going to find a reason to get rid of me? you know, am I going to be evicted for some reason? Because this looks like such a nice place. I've been through so much with shelters and everything. I was still too scared. It took a long time for me to feel comfortable to even call that my home. When I need a place to hide out, I can stay, you know, in my room as long as I want, but still have people around to support me to keep me from going into depression, suicide, or back out on the streets again because I can't handle things. Now I can call it home.
The Kelly Cullen community is part of a multi-year study by the Tenderloin Neighborhood Development Corporation and the Department of Public Health. The hope is to prove that comprehensive supportive housing with access to counseling, nurses, and other programs actually saves money in the long run. So far, the numbers look promising, and it's already made a huge difference in Kim's life. 3 years on, her mental health has stabilized, and she's working to improve the neighborhood she now calls home.
I took advantage of all the different services to better myself, to find a way to get out of that neighborhood because of what it was. But then I decided, nah, I want to change the neighborhood to make a good neighborhood where we can walk outside and say hi to your neighbors and not be afraid you're going to get shot or beat up because you don't want to buy somebody's drugs.
And tonight she's speaking at a community meeting in the building's auditorium in front of more than 300 neighbors, as well as some of San Francisco's power brokers, including the city's police commissioner, the district supervisor, and the chief of police.
Good evening. I'm Kim Mostero. I live in this building. I do participate in the neighborhood. I belong to one of the community resident boards, but I'm not here as a politician tonight. I'm here as a human being. The true issue is what many have brought here to you tonight, the safety, our safety. When can you explain to us what the procedures are that keeps the police from arresting the criminals? And it's always the same answer. We don't have enough evidence. Let us know what you need to help protect us. We'll fight for those procedures.
Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you very much. Next speaker.
Kim is a success story. But for every Kim, there are a lot more Katrinas struggling on the street. So I had to leave San Francisco for a few months. Before I go, I stop by Katrina and Coop's tent and bring her information about TAP, the city's free and voluntary substance treatment program. We both agree that getting off heroin is probably the first step. When I get back to San Francisco, one of the first things I do is check in on the corner and with Katrina.
Come on now, he just saved your ass.
Hey, you remember us?
Of course.
Trina. Remember him?
What you doing, sweet boo?
I was coming back for you.
I was just getting high. I was a rich.
Okay.
That's what I do. Yeah, it ain't no secret. I'm not happy here. This street's gonna take me out.
It's been a rough couple of months, and she just seems spent. I run into Mike Anderer, who, in addition to being an administrator at the middle school near the corner, spends a lot of time in front of the school talking to dealers and the homeless people. Katrina recently asked him to help her get off of heroin and the streets.
She came up to me and gave me a hug, and she started to cry, and she's like, she said, I'm going to die out here. So I said something like, you give me the word, and I'll see what I can do to get some help for you. And so she's like, I'm ready. I'm giving it to you. And so anyway, it's been a couple of weeks, you know, and it's a mix. She ended up going to the hospital the next day because she had trouble breathing. And then she came back out again, and then, being in the hospital helped her feel better. So she kind of had some energy. That week she was out cooking steak on the sidewalk. But getting somebody into rehab is not easy. So we started to kind of line a couple of opportunities up. But there's you can set the table for someone. At the end of the day, they have to pull in their chair. And so that first week, she didn't pull in her chair, to the table on that one. And so we backed off a little bit. But she says she's ready. It's complicated.
Yeah.
Yeah.
As of late December, Katrina is still living on the street. Her and Coop have split up, but they're still friends.
Me and Coop can always be friends. That's some real shit. And if we want to be some And some relations, that's fine too.
Change can be slow and difficult, especially on the corner of Golden Gate and Leavenworth.
He be spooning me at night. That's when, like, he laying now, I put my booty right here. Is it true?
That's KALW's David Boyer with the first episode of The Intersection. Tomorrow, we'll meet a family and find out what it's like to raise kids in the Tenderloin and what it's like to grow up here.
It's just thought as like a bad neighborhood with bad people, but...
You know, we're no different from anywhere else. We want the best for our families, and...
We were so very grateful that they opened a school in this area. It's a miracle happening here.
The Intersection continues tomorrow at 5 on Cross Currents. Today we've heard from people living in San Francisco's Tenderloin neighborhood. Now we'd love to hear from you. Call us at 415-264-7106 with your comments and suggestions. That's 415-264-7106. It's because of you that we can proudly say we're listener-supported public radio. The Intersection is a production of KALW. Ben Trefney is the editor with an assist from Ashley Ann Krigbaum. It's engineered by David Boyer and Chris Hoff. Special thanks to Ann Hepperman, Lisa Morehouse, Sam Zalutsky, Heidi Doro, and Daryl Carl for their help. The Intersection was made possible with a grant from the San Francisco Arts Commission and support from Cal Humanities, a nonprofit partner of the NEH. To hear more from The Intersection, head to theintersection.fm and subscribe to the podcast on iTunes. For today's show, Liz Mack was the line producer. Our managing editor is Jen Chien. Managing producer is Julie Kane. Cross Currents theme music is by the John Santos Quintet.